so that the screen wouldn't keep going off. Oh. Anyway. For reals here. All right. Again. I'll read the name of this session. Session is called A Higher Power for All, Choosing Your Own Conception of God. The Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So this session is being recorded, and if any of you are leading one of the sessions, I suggest you get there early enough to get familiar with this little thingy, because it's got it says right here, the topic of this workshop is a higher power, choosing your own conception of God. My name is Margaret Ann, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm seated with Susan. And we are the co-leaders of this meeting. Each of us will have up to 20 minutes to speak, and then we will open the room for shares up to 3 minutes. And is being recorded. And it says, first shares would be me. My name is Margaret Ann. My name and my problem is Margaret Ann, as I've heard it said. And I am a compulsive overeater. I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. And today, I do not practice any of those behaviors. Hi, everybody. As I've heard it said, I'm a compulsive overeater. I used to eat compulsively. I'd also like to open a qualification by saying I came into Overeaters Anonymous in February of 1990 as 215 pounds of chain-smoking suicidal fun. And my life has changed since then. So, it's in a minute. It does say to tell briefly my story, so I am going to briefly is not always one of my long suits. I'm going to try. So as I said, I came into Overeaters Anonymous at 215 pounds. I was a chain smoker. I was fairly recently sober. My story of addiction started with food. That was the first thing that I can identify that really did what I needed it to do, which was make the world go away and give me a sense of ease and comfort. So in the doctor's opinion, page, you know, XII 27, about the cycle of addiction, that I'm restless, irritable, and discontented unless I can again experience a sense of ease and comfort. And you can put pretty much anything after those words that will bring that sense of ease and comfort. But food did the trick. When I started doing the steps in Overeaters Anonymous and started writing my story, well, I was able to identify about the age of 7. That was when I skipped the second grade. And when in the third grade, I got bullied a lot. Now, for years, I used to tell the story like, yeah, when I skipped the second grade, because I was such a misunderstood genius. And eventually, I started going, you know, the difference in curriculum between 1, 2, and 3 is not that huge. You are not a tortured genius. But at the same time, yeah, I got bullied. Is there anybody in this room who didn't get bullied at some point? I doubt it. But like many a family, I was the youngest, so everybody had their own issues, and they would tell me the same useless advice we tell kids when they're being bullied generally. Ignore it, pretend it doesn't bother you, they're jealous, you know, whatever it was. But you know what never tried to talk me out of the way I was feeling was food. And I would go home after school and just methodically work my way through the cabinets. And so what I came to identify was that this was starting the behavior of a compulsive overeater, because I would just eat. As long as I was chewing and swallowing, I was getting ease and comfort. But it was also touching off food addiction. I had been in OA for several years before I started hearing people call themselves food addicts. And because it was unfamiliar, I hated it. Because I, like many another addict, only hate two things. Change the way things are. This was a change. But I had to listen, because if something pisses me off, generally that means there's something in it for me. And I'm a food addict because, like many people in this room, there are certain substances that I cannot eat in safety. They touch off the phenomenon of craving, as alcohol does for me. That was what I recognized as I did my step work in OA, was that it was about the age that I went from being a normal kid who really liked treats to being a person in the grips of addiction. And it went from there, and I kept switching seats on the Titanic, finding other things that gave me that sense of ease and comfort. And by the time I was 29 years old, went into the other program, I was 30 years old when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. And in those early days, I was told, you are going to need to find a power greater than yourself that is going to solve your problem. And I didn't really have any trouble with the word God. I had been raised in a good religious environment. And, you know, so that didn't bother me. But to me, it was a hobby that you could have or not. And that's what it was for me. But generally, I was going to be okay. I liked the idea of God and the idea of morality and all those things. They were kind of sentimental and gauzy and didn't really apply to my actual life because I knew what I needed to do to be happy. If you were to look at a bar graph of what the course of actions that I considered should have been going up, 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 up. I'm going to get this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get this, and then I'm going to be happy. And that would lead me up to happiness. If you looked to a lived experience of my life to that point, you would see the bar graph just like tanking. Because I dieted my way up to 215. I romanced myself into a painful divorce. I worked myself into a job that was not anything like what I wanted to do with my life. That's where my best thinking, my self-reliance, my will led me. It wasn't lining up. So the idea of a power greater than myself, I did get that, you know, there were all these people in the room, they seemed to have a solution, and I'm like, all right. But what I was told was, whatever you've been working with, it hasn't been working, you need to find something different. Okay, great. I heard, and forgive a mention of food, in early meetings of the other fellowship, that somebody really liked the idea of Aunt Jemima, that she seemed like a very wonderful person. And so I was like, okay, we can't have the pancakes, but we can have a woman who is different than the, you know, the bearded old man who in my head was both kind of the forbidding patriarch, but also Santa Claus, who could give you what you wanted under certain conditions. That doesn't work as a higher power. Oh, if you're listening to the recording, that means that I'm wearing flashing Halloween skull earrings. Are they off? Right. Okay, thank you. And so that conception of God didn't work. So it couldn't be my mother, who is a white woman, because she clearly was not able to do this. I love both my parents were highly human. So it became essentially a West Indian woman because I had known some beautiful West Indian women growing up, who seemed strong, loving, and everything that I needed in a higher power. And that was a visualization that worked for me. Today, I heard once somebody say, I have much more faith and far fewer beliefs. And today, that characterizes my relationship with, sometimes higher power doesn't even resonate with me. That has a kind of hierarchy or outside, but there is a power that is greater than my just walking around thinking clearly. I have proof of it. And the proof that I've been given is that when I followed the instructions I was given, I was able to abstain from drinking. I was able to abstain from compulsive eating. I was able to put the cigarettes down. And I was able to do it in a way that every waking moment wasn't spent wanting them and needing them and putting all of my psychic energy into avoiding them. Then the problem was, how am I going to get that sense of ease and comfort? So then I was told, well, that's the problem. You know, your problem isn't food. You know, you thought your problem was weight. No, it was food. Then it turned out that wasn't even the problem. This program, it's not about the food, but it's all about the food until it's not about the food. It was really important for me to engage in a very important ritual, and that was planning, preparing, committing my food, and abstaining. The first plan of eating was three meals a day with nothing in between. It didn't matter what they were. There were really no parameters, but they had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And there was a way in which that was a surrender. So I moved in and became more willing to do more different things that I heard other people doing, like, you know, letting go of certain foods like flour and sugar, letting go of certain eating behaviors like eating between meals, or, you know, eating standing up, eating at the sink, eating in the car. As I started to change these things, then I started feeling like, uh-oh, I'm back in a diet. I'm weighing my food now. Thank you, 10 minutes. But what happened over the years was that the diet mentality fell away, and the spirituality, the ritual, the spiritual of putting that kind of devotion into planning, preparing, committing my food, going to meetings, working the tools and working the steps. The fact that this was how I was prioritizing my time brought about the essential psychic change. So that's what's talked about in that paragraph about, you know, the ease and comfort, the cycle of addiction. Unless I experience an entire psychic change, I will always have to go to, I'll have to get something. So the psychic change to me is the same thing as the spiritual awakening, and the 12 steps will produce that essential psychic change. I only a few years ago found what I find to be a beautiful statement for me of what higher power is. It's in the OA 12 and 12. It's first paragraph of step 11, and I'll just read it. When we began attending Overeaters Anonymous meetings, most of us were attracted by the unconditional acceptance we experienced here. Life-changing acceptance has continued to sustain us as we work the steps and face the changes that have come about in our lives as the result, as a result, it says. Now, as we encounter step 11, we are challenged to seek out more direct conscious contact, ultimate source of that life-changing love. So that life-changing love is my greater power. That's it. I am it. I wrote notes. We were up at 5 because of noise. Lay there, kind of thinking about some of this stuff. The source that I found in this program, and it was there from day one, the acceptance. Hearing people talk about what actually went on between my ears and them telling me, you're never going to be able to overcome this through willpower. You are never going to get the right diet. They did tell me there is a way out. And you patiently led me first, act no matter what. You said it doesn't matter. And I came in and gained weight for quite some time. I did not get abstinent when I first started coming to OA. Perfectly fine. You belong here. Around long enough to become abstinent. And it was, right after a horrific Halloween and before what was going to be a just devastating holiday season. Then I got abstinent in 19. You led me through the steps. Many times I've done them out of the OA 12 and 12. I've used the OA workbook, the OA step workshop book, the big book, the how questions, and everyone has wrought some change in me. What has happened to lead me to a place where I have really strong faith? So far, I'd like to say it's unshakable. Nothing's shaken it yet. A lot of stuff that could, so far so good. The thing that has led me to this is practicing these steps, and I often compare them to doing physical therapy. It's spiritual therapy. You go to the PT, and they usually can see that you're overdoing one thing, and you need to strengthen the other thing, so that you can be relieved of your pain and function. Exactly what this does. From those early days where I had a personified higher power, and I still use the word God, it doesn't bother me at all. I might be non-theistic. I wouldn't call myself atheistic, but really practice with an embodied entity. I really don't know. What I do know is that this program taught me my spiritual people exercises. It taught me how to live day to day, because this is a daily practice program. It taught me in step 10, after having, you know, done the steps that led up to that, to go on with my life, it taught me to just look at my experience through the lens of previous steps. 5 minutes left, thank you. Taught me to look for dishonesty, selfishness, self-seeking behaviors, and fears. It taught me a new way of dealing with those. Rather than going with what my mind's telling me, I am going to turn to a new system. I'm going to do those exercises. In step 11, it gives me a practical method to incline the mind in that direction, in the direction of the solution, and to adopt a position of asking. We were talking this morning about how, you know, we talk about how the big book has the word must in it so many times. I think more importantly, it has the word ask. I do nothing in the day but ask. I'm going to be in better shape. And that's just an attitude. I don't have to be asking anything other than stopping, pausing, and asking. And right then I'm hitting the reset button. Prayer. The meditation is a method that allows the mind to calm down and stay with what is. That's really, if you talk about powers greater than myself, reality right there. Things exactly as they are. Is anyone aging in this room? Yeah, okay, try stopping that. We did our facials this morning, and so, you know, I'm going to drink a lot of water today and stuff like that, but it's happening. So then in step 12, I'm given this beautiful opportunity to express it all, to pass it on. I am brought to the source of life-changing. I become the source of life-changing love imperfectly, which is exactly how this power needs me to be. We need each other to be human. We can't heal each other until we really embrace everything about us. And this gets me to a point where I can stop in my uncertainty, my fear, and my anxiety. Anybody else have uncertainty, fear, and anxiety these days? Anyone? Yeah, okay, great. Pause, I can feel my body where it is. I can feel my breath dropping in. I can ask for the next right thought and action. I don't care where that comes from, but if I'm in that position, chances are it's going to be aligned with reality and not with what my self-centered fear is going to sing after. So I'm going to close with this beautiful story that I heard. It's a wonderful ideal. I wish I practiced it. The disciple comes into the town, and they've been away, and they come back home, and they see that the great teacher has been there, and everybody's like enlightened, and they're all happy, and they're like, oh, this is amazing, but the teacher is leaving town, and they run after the teacher, and they're like, oh, hey, I was away for the weekend, what can I say, I was at a convention, and I missed the teaching, what's the teaching, and the teacher's like, I don't have time, I got to go to the next town. Well, come on, give it to me, and he says, okay, great, she says, whatever. They say, go get yourself a colander, whatever, and fill it with water. Then you got it. So for the next year, until the teacher comes back, they are going out of their minds, going down to the river, going down to the ocean, going down to the lake, trying different things, you know, doing it fast, doing it slow. I'm there cheating. I put leaves in it. Now that's cheating. They cannot fill the sieve. Can't do it. Finally, a year later, the teacher comes back to town. I've been working at it. Everybody's still happy, and I cannot fill the sieve. And the teacher's like, oh, no, this is so, so easy. The teacher takes the person down to the banks of the river and says, okay, watch. Takes the sieve and throws it as far as they can out into the water. They're full. So that's really what this is all about, is when we can leave that space, and that's the psychic change. When I can leave that space of what's to become of me, how am I going to do this? Oh my God, you know, which is how I wake up every single morning. If we can incline the mind through the working of these steps in fellowship with each other, we can get to a place where we are part of that life-changing love. We're able to transmit it. And that means that there's more people walking around in the world who have that solution available to pass on. There's more sane people. So thank you so much for allowing me to spend 20 minutes, whatever that was. Thank you. So I want to pass it over to my pal, Susan.
Hello, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive overeater and a relapse survivor.
Hi, Susan.
Well, I am nervous. Weird.
Normally, following Margaret Ann would be terrifying, but my message is completely different. So there you go. So instead of just giving you a bit of my story, I'm going to tell you my story in terms of higher power. I came into program 18 years ago after a 16-year relapse, 260 pounds of crazy, crying, psycho, mommy nutcase. I, through probably the first 10 meetings, got abstinent right away, September or October. I was abstinent all through Christmas. And then in the new year, I went on a school trip with my daughter to, they called it École de Neige. It was a French in Quebec where it was in the winter and we were snowshoeing and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I came prepared. Sort of. I didn't realize that snack was going to be in a different building, and I didn't bring my snack. And I thought, we'll be okay. Well, I spent the next 3 weeks just in a food fog. Like, I don't know if I got any work done at work. But then I was abstinent for 11 years. And around the 10th year, I had a crisis of faith. Came into the program, a very active member of my organized religion, but also a very questioning, doubting, not very faithful, not very trusting nut. And I'd just been through a horrible experience of going through the court system with my daughter, who was sexually assaulted when she was 12, and going through the court system of having the person charged, and it was brutal. And I was sitting in church and heard for the millionth time from somebody that, oh, you know, God allows these things to happen so that you'll be prepared to help the next person who has to go through this. I was already very questioning, and I said, I'm done. I don't believe in that God. If that's what this God's all about, I'm done. I don't believe that any entity would ever do that. Because we're all human, and I don't care what they say. I'm done. So then it was like, well, now I don't have a higher power, so I can't work this program. And within the next 7 months, I experienced 5 deaths, 3 close family and 2 friends. And I've had mental health issues my entire life, and it broke me. And I left the program. I left for about a year. I stayed abstinent for the first 9 months. And after death, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I was suicidal. Belle died, and I wanted to be the one who had died, not them. So I had promised my family that if I felt suicidal, I would check myself into the hospital. And I only ate 3 of my binge foods during this relapse. Just 3. I didn't eat chocolate. I wasn't from chocolate for 18. And as I'm sitting in the living room, shoveling, saying, why isn't it working? This is supposed to work. This is supposed to take the pain away. I realized that I wanted to die. And then I realized that I had said I would check myself in if I wanted to die. Then I realized that if I checked myself in, I wouldn't be able to binge. Somebody would be in control of my food. I didn't want to go because I wanted to be in control of my food. I wanted to continue stuffing something in my face that wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. So that definition of a compulsive overeater, I don't know what it is. So it was kind of like a V8 moment, you know. Oh. So I contacted my sponsor and said, will you take me back? And I came back and have been abstinent ever since, and that was 6 years ago. And I didn't know how I was supposed to work the program without a higher power. So my best friend in this program, and she said, no, not everybody has those people. She said, I think you'd be surprised how many people do not have them. Actually, the first people that I contacted is in this room. And I said, please tell me how you do this without a religious higher power. And he did. And I went on and I discovered that most of the people I know do not have a religious higher power. And so I could do this without a religious higher power. What I did was thought about what I wanted, what I needed at a time. And what I've ended up with, that sounds like I both. I'm a visual person, and so my visualization of my higher power is a white ball of light that's right here in my chest. It's mine. It's only mine. I'm not worried about anybody else on the planet. Nobody. Always been there, but when I was a kid, I was told that everything that I thought and felt was wrong. Excuse me. And like garbage. Didn't know why I was on the planet. Trust myself. I didn't trust that little voice inside of me. I started compulsively overeating when I was 6 years old. I know the exact moment that it started. I was lying in bed sleeping. My parents were fighting, so I woke up. I was an empathic child. I really knew what people were feeling without them saying it. I knew when people were lying to me. And I knew my parents' marriage was going to end. I was scared and I was angry. I went to the medicine cabinet, 1966. And I got out the cough medicine, and sugar. Ate all the crumblies around the bottle from the sugar that had got around the bottle. And took a couple swigs and went back to bed and slept like a baby. Made me feel so good. And I knew it would make me feel good because I'd had it when I was sick. And that was the beginning. I crutch ever since. It stopped working long before I came back into program in 2006. But over the last 6 years, my experience with my higher power has evolved. But even when I don't put in the effort to connect to my higher power, I'll get to the end of the day and I'll go, oh, shit, I forgot to do my routine this morning. So then I'm doing my gratitudes and I realized my higher power was with me whether I did my routine or not. And obviously I'm always grateful for that. But there's a reading in one of our readers. So when I read this, I thought, okay, this is what I want. This is my higher power's plan for me. To be free of fear, to march after every single dream, to recognize where my passion is, to let my passion loose, to be strong of mind, body, and spirit, to grasp for all the good things that could be mine, to love unreservedly, to keep real priorities in front of me, to experience joy without limits. When I am able to accept that this is my higher power's will for me, I see the need to align my will with my higher power. And when I read that, I thought, that's it, that's what I want. I'm still struggling. You know, I have multiple addictions. I play whack-a-mole with them. And I still struggle. And even as I was listening to Margaret Ann, I was thinking, doing something daily. That's the thing. You're not getting the fact that this is a daily reprieve. And but I'm still here. You know, I'm still abstinent. Not in my other programs, but I'm still abstinent. I wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for all of you. I just, you know, if I came into these rooms and was all by myself and nobody ever talked, I wouldn't be here. You know? Love that I get in these rooms is what supports me while I work the program. One of the things that I did when I was figuring out my new concept of a higher power, simply I was very anti anything that sounded like religious verbiage. I don't like the word God. I always do higher power in the Serenity Prayer. If I'm waiting, I don't say God. If you want to say God, go ahead. But I rewrote in my own way the Seth prayer. I want to read to you. I used to read this every morning, but I stopped. And that's part of why I've been struggling. So what I was saying every morning, I would take 3 deep breaths. In with my higher power, out with it. I would say, higher power, I love you, I trust you, I thank you, I feel loved by you. Even if it wasn't true. Choose to be in this relationship today. Here's the first prayer. Higher power, I give my will, thoughts, and actions to you. Please free me from selfishness and fear so that I embrace your will for me and take action. Use my difficulties and negative behaviors so that others can see that relying on their higher power works. Please show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Please show me all through the day what my next step is to be. Give me whatever I need to take care of problems, especially freedom from self-will. Direct my thoughts and actions, especially that they be free from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Then, higher power. I am now willing to accept all of me, good and bad, physical, emotional, and sexual. Ask that you remove all negative behaviors which stand in the way of my being my true self. I ask for strength as I endeavor to align my will with yours by living a life free of these behaviors so that I don't harm myself or others. Please transform them into something useful so I may help others. And then I say thank you for a myriad of things, whether I have them or not. And it's interesting because I hadn't read this in a while, and when I read it, it was like I had said thank you for things that happened, and since then, they have happened. So that was kind of cool. So part of my thing was, because of my childhood, I wanted my family's life to be perfect. So I'm codependent with my children. I'm a control freak. And I had to learn that I had to forgive myself for the behaviors that I did while I was raising my children that caused them to be the messed up. And that adults now, and it's up to them to deal with whatever mess their life. So now I say, my darling friends and family, I love you. I wish you healing, prosperity, joy, and peace. I put you into the light of your higher power. And I heard this wonderful thing. Guilt is a resentment against myself. Never thought of it that way. Thank you. And so I ask for healing, prosperity, joy, and peace for those who I hold a resentment against, especially me. Me myself has been the hardest thing. And then acceptance. I still am that 6-year-old on the floor kicking and screaming and throwing a tantrum because I'm not getting my way. So, you know, I just keep trying every day. And going to convention is a very good way for me to get reminded of what I need to do every day. I'm going to have a higher power that is mine. Feel support that I never felt before. I thought I was supposed to get my support from my... They failed at that miserably. I totally get why, but they did fail. And that's okay. I'm an adult now. I'm taking care of myself. I'm all I have, me and my higher power. And it's okay. Even though I'm struggling, it's okay. I'm still here. I'm still trying to get it. I'm still working every day. I'm still this side of the dirt. You know? And I don't want to kill myself every day. And it's a good life, even though sometimes it's not. And about the love, I just... Like, even just standing here, having you, looking at you people, I just feel so much love, you know? And I am giving it, too. Like, I just, like, oh, I just love all these people, you know? And one of the things that I learned in the last 6 years is that one of the things I'm really, really good at is loving people. I used to think I was put on this earth to be a mother. Now I realize I was put on this earth to love. Loving people is great, as long as you don't try to control them. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the convention. Take care. Oh, I have to do the rest. Oops, sorry. Oh, there's one.
for just a second, speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now we're going to open it for sharing. When you share, spend a moment or two saying where you're from. Oh, I'm from Ottawa. How long you've been in OA, your length of abstinence, but please reserve the bulk of your share for the topic. Also, if you're in another 12-step fellowship, please speak only to your personal recovery as an OA member. We are recording sessions by ourselves. The room monitor will ensure the recorder is recording, but it wouldn't hurt if you look at the device as a backup. Anyway. So, they're 3 minutes? 3 minute chairs? 3 minute chairs with a 1 minute warning. Okay? So, yeah. When you come up, just say your name, where you're from, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you, everybody.
Good morning. I'm Stevie, an OA man. Don't eat from a garbage can. Surrender my will way and measure my fill. I'm Stevie, an OA man. Ta-da. And I am also an atheist. I got here an atheist. I remain an atheist. And it's been an interesting process. Let's see. I'm from Norwood, Massachusetts. Been in program 22 years. Abstinent for most of it. Keeping about 100. Done service at every level the organization has to offer. I don't really want to be here today, so I'm sort of faking it. So, in any event, first time working through the steps, I got to step 3. Got to step 4, I hit a brick wall. So I got myself another sponsor to help me with step 4, and after talking about it, she demoted me back to step 2 and said, you can't do step 4. You don't really have a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity. And I said, okay. And I ended up picking up the AA book, Came to Believe. And there were stories in it. And I'd read one story a day and write on it. And sometimes there was a story that had a kernel of truth to me, and I could say that, and I could write about it and identify with it. Sometimes it was religious pablum, and there was nothing in it for me. Through that, I came to believe in a power greater than myself that was internal. God was born with me and will die with me. Time, it's evolved, and I've come to understand it over COVID. I don't know. I had this odd. I don't know how it came to me, but I'm an engineer, and engineers do math, and there's this concept in mathematics called imaginary numbers, square root of minus one. You know, there are no two numbers when there's no number when multiplied by itself that gives you a negative. No number that's this times this. But in engineering and mathematics, there is, we use it anyway. And it solves enormously big problems. Italics I. It wouldn't work without it. And so I came to understand that there are imaginary things that can help me solve problems. And for me, that has become reinforcement of my concept of God. And it's an internal thing, which is not imaginary, but I can rely on a power outside of that, which is imaginary. Not meet the formula of any organized religion. I don't believe the story told about organized religion. I respect the people who do. It works for me, and it works for me one day at a time, and yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. So.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Don. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Don.
I've been in OA for a little over 20 years. And when I came into program, I was over 300 pounds. And now I'm down close to 100 pounds. So I'm a happy camper about that sort of thing. I've been a sponsor. I've tried to do a lot of service if I could. This topic today is one that really strikes me right in the middle of my heart. And I went to Catholic grade school. I've been a Catholic my whole life. But I'm going to be very honest with you. I am not a religious person. I like to consider myself a spiritual person. And the reason I'm not religious is because all the questions that I had being raised the way that I was. And I started thinking about the concept of God. I do believe in God. It's a personal choice. And I believe what I was told is that we are given the gift of free will. And we are able to make our own choices. And it's up to us to make the right choice. Well, one of my choices was to walk in the doors of OA. One of my choices was to get a sponsor and to start working the steps in the tradition. I started thinking about people pray all the time. The most often prayed prayers, other than the Serenity Prayer, is, God, please don't let my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my best friend, please don't let them die. Can you imagine what this world would be like if nobody died? I mean, there would not be enough room for all of us from the beginning of time. And I personally am a music junkie. I don't know if you guys were here, any of you were here for last night at the talent show. I played guitar. I had fun. But being a music junkie, I started thinking about the concept of God. Thank you. And I looked up a song that I absolutely love. It's a song by Garth Brooks. And the song is called Unanswered Prayers. And in the song, in the lyrics, it says, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs. And just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And we ask for a lot of things. We think about the things that we might need in our lives. We ask for those things, and sometimes they're things that we shouldn't have. I want to be able to eat everything I want, and I still want to lose weight. Didn't work. So ultimately what happens is I've got to think about, what am I asking for? Is it in my best interest? Is it something that I really, truly need? Thank you. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt for a second because there was a page missing from the meeting format and I need to read. This workshop will end at thank you. For the rest of the time, you'll hear 3-minute pitches from the floor. The timer, Marlene, will signal you when you have 1 minute left. If you would like to share, come to the front of the room. We remind you that this session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name or choose not to share. And again, say where you're from, how long you've been away.
Good morning. My name is Nancy. I am from Rhode Island. And hi, everyone. I'm a compulsive eater and a food addict, and I'm grateful to be here. And thanks, Myra Ann. Is it Sue? Susan, thank you both. I really appreciated hearing your shares, and I love hearing about how other people embrace their higher power. I've been in OA on and off since the 1980s, but consistently since 2013. I've had what's called stable recovery since 2017. I am definitely a relapse survivor. I'm 75, and it took me till I was 67 years old to really just surrender and just, you know, give up my will, which, you know, I don't always give it up. It comes back. It's very persistent. But my higher power is more persistent than my will. I grew up Catholic. One of the things I always remembered that I liked about the Catholic faith is that they said, you were made in the image and likeness of God. So that gave me some hope, because there was a scary looking guy sitting in a throne, I swear, on the cover of catechisms that we used. let me say too, I've had a weight loss of about 140 pounds. I'm really grateful for that. That's pretty amazing that I don't have to carry that weight around. And I'm coming up on about 3 years of abstinence. I do weigh and measure, sugar and flour free, and I don't use artificial sweeteners. My conception of a higher power is a force of love, like I've heard you both talk about. And, my niece brought this magnet back from Serbia. She went to Serbia because she had a friend there. And the magnet says, you are made of stars. So I love that, because my conception of a higher power, this might sound a little cuckoo, but I believe the universe, 1 minute left, is... I love the power of the universe and the stars and the planets and the never-ending boundaries. And that's what I feel like my higher power is, the beauty of the universe. And this helps me to have that kind of conception. The last thing I want to do is kind of give a little plug for the boutique downstairs, because I believe it's our ultimate goal to carry the message. So anyways, there's a couple of intergroups down there that have things available. And one is the Ocean Bay Intergroup, which I am a member. They have these beautiful, we have these beautiful journals. And they're two ladies from the Nashua. I don't know what exactly the technical name for the intergroup, but it's from Nashua. And there's some of these really delightful little hand crocheted. This one says, kiss, keep it simple, sweetie. This says, kindness, care, and respect. And they got this really cute, these really cute little covers for your daily readers. So, anyways, I'm just giving a shameless plug for the boutique downstairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
My name is Nancy P. Recovered. I've been in the program. It'll be 54 years in January. I've been recovered for 7. And for the first 47 years, I jerked around and thought that I had to be not an atheist, but I'm definitely not a believer. I exist happily and joyfully in the gray area in between. And, you know, I could talk, I love this step, it's my favorite, because it was the sort of the pathway to success for me. And, you know, there was one critical word, there's one critical word in the second step. It says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore. 7 years, I read that wrong. And, you know, it was, it, you can't even know, you can't, I couldn't, I don't know the words to say what a tectonic. So, you know, how did I know I was going to recover? 50,000th time is the charm. Because I can tell you, you know, in the I'm from the Boston area, and in Boston they say, I got to stay abstinent because I don't know if I have another recovery in me. And I'm up here to tell you that it doesn't matter how often you relapse or how often you slip, I fall down or whatever. You can always get better. It is an unlimited resource for everybody. And I know that from actual lived experience. My sponsor challenged me. My she's not my real sponsor, but the woman that I worked with to get recovered. My real sponsor I've talked to 5 days of the week, every week for 40 years, but she couldn't help me. This woman, she said, you have to decide what you want God to do and what you want God to be, what you want God to be and what you want God to do for you. And I'll wrap up quickly. So I thought, I'm going to take that challenge. I was on California Street in West Newton in my town. I was driving by Rick and Sabrina Halloran's house, and they had a red on their window. And I thought, I wonder what they're going to do to their house. And then I thought, you better get on that thing, that challenge. And I decided I was going to check everything I ever heard, read, wrote, was near, imagined, was told, was taught, everything about God, and check it. And decide what I could embrace. And to embrace means to hold close. And that I checked was the word God, because I can creep. And the second thing that I was going to check was no knees, because who wants that? And I thought, I can embrace trust, embrace compassion and debility and kindness and generosity, that. And I thought about those things, and I thought, well, I could go on for a year saying the things that I want. So like any good direct marketer, I reserve the right to change or amend it any time I want without notice. And the second question was, what do you want it to do for you? And the answer to that was, make me into those things. And thus was my cornerstone set in place, and no later this institute has shaken me.
My name is Christina, and I'm a grateful.
Yes. Hi, Christina.
I'm from Manchester, New Jersey, and I've been in OA since May 12, 1981, one day at a time. So grateful to be here, and thank you, ladies, for your thoughts on spirituality. I was reading something last night, and it said something about spirituality is my relationship with others. And a power greater than myself, which I found here. I woke up to it here. My first came to believe experience was I was in about six. Nothing was more important than me getting to that OA meeting and being abstinent. But I was going upstate New York that weekend, and my mother-in-law was a fabulous cook and a wonderful baker. I was her biggest consumer. And she was in the friends over to see the children. My kids were 3 and 4 at the time. All morning long, she's baking, and the kids are up and singing, smelliness. And I'm doing good until about 10 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, I started to sweat. And I thought, God, what do? I just don't want to blow this thing. And so I said, you know what? Moyne is a little antsy. I'm going to go walk her up and down the driveway. And I took the kid by the hand and went up and down the driveway and said, God, I need help. I need help now. And I just did that for 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, this feeling came over me like a warm blanket. You're going to be okay, babe. And so I was. And I didn't have any trouble with my abstinence for the next 6 years. I never felt like that when I was eating. I never had felt like that before in my life. So that's when I speak to newcomers and people that don't have any concept of anything, I just say a prayer. Do it as a science experiment and see what happens. And that's the one I usually use. And there will be work in your life. I'm listening to people tell their stories. You know, as long as you have a pulse, there's going to be some challenge because that's the way God polishes the rock and shapes the soul. And if I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, it's my soul calling me to grow. So do something with me.
My name is Cheryl. I'm a compulsive overeater from Weymouth, Massachusetts.
Hi, Cheryl.
I came into program when I was 18 years old in 2001. So I've been in and out of program 6 different times. But my OA birthday is about 10 years. It was 10 years ago in April. My conception of higher power has changed over the years in program as my needs have changed. When I came into program, I had no higher power. I was brought up in an organized religion, but there was my faith was rocked right after being confirmed. So I was pretty lost, and when I came into program, I liked our literature, and one of the pieces of literature that helped me a conception of my higher power was Voices of Recovery. I was going to a meeting where we read about that, and I've used conscience, I wrote a love letter on what my higher power I'd like him to be. I've asked friends from organized religion what they've used, and today I am back at that organized religion. I have a true relationship with my higher power, which I do call God, but God for me stands for good orderly direction. That doesn't seem as scary for me. So, like I said, my conception of my higher power has changed since being in program. And I am going to be in program the rest of my natural God-given life. I don't know how long that is, but things change. So will my higher power. Thank you.
So we're going to close this session with the serenity prayer. God, as you conceive of God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.